Welcome to On the Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. On today's episode, I have the comedy duo, the Sklar Brothers. Jason and Randy Sklar sat down with me in the green room at Wise Guys Comedy last night, and it was a phenomenal time talking to them after their show. The Sklars are in town for two more shows tonight, Saturday, May 14th at Wise Guys Comedy. Tickets are just $20, but hey, if you go online, use the promo code #Henderson, and you can get those tickets for half off. You're not going to want to miss these shows. The Sklars are absolutely fantastic. You've seen them on At Midnight, on Entourage, ESPN, Comedy Central. They're absolutely incredible, and it was so much fun talking to them about a lot of their comedy influences, kind of growing up together and finding their comedy voice, you know, what inspires them, kind of some of their process. And if you saw them on At Midnight the other night, they went on this entire riff about Canada. And I guess some people took it a little too harsh, and we're a little offended by it. And Randy actually plays for us a voicemail that John Doerr left him several months ago. You can see it was all in good fun. And it was really funny. It was great chatting with them. And get out and go see those shows this weekend. Wise Guys Comedy in Salt Lake City. And again, use the promo code #Henderson. Get half off those tickets. And get out to those shows. It's a lot of fun. Thank you to everybody that recently checked out the last episode with Andrew Troy. A lot of great feedback on that, so I'm really happy that you guys enjoyed that episode. If you guys haven't seen a lot of Andrew's work, you know, make sure to go to his website and check out all that information. You'll be able to see that as well. A lot of great stuff coming up. Next week we have the sketch comedy and improv duo, Toy Suit. Andrew Jensen and Troy Taylor will be on the show. It was a lot of fun sitting with them. I've had a chance to work with Andrew a little bit on You Again. And it was a lot of fun chatting with him. So that episode will come out next Wednesday. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Again, get out to Wise Guys Comedy this week and go see the Sklars. The show was absolutely fantastic tonight as they're working on finishing up their new hour special. So we talk a little bit about how that all comes together as well. Their last one came out 2 years ago. And you can find that on Netflix as well. And make sure you follow the Sklars as well. We'll have all those links up on the website. Go see them, Wise Guys Comedy, this weekend. Hope you guys enjoy this episode with the Sklar Brothers.
On your win on At Midnight last night.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very, very much. I feel very proud. I'm very excited.
So it's great to have you guys back in Salt Lake. It's been at least a year.
Even be longer now.
Well, we've never performed in this club. So
yeah. Used to have the downtown Trolley Square.
Yeah, that was the first club I ever did stand up in.
And then they had the one in West Valley, and we did that one, and we loved that one. That was
I love I didn't necessarily love the area. Yeah. West Valley, and it was like in a strip mall. I mean, I think Keith would be the first to tell you it's a great club, it's just not in the best location. There would be like two or three stores there that were always abandoned.
You had the pet shop that was right next door.
Yeah, and karate. There was like a taekwondo or something over there, and you're like, this is... And then that weird amusement park thing that was... Or not...
Oh, yeah, there was the...
It was like down the road.
Yeah, it was just right up the street. I can't remember
what it was. I just remember walking... We were walking and listening to a cut of one of our early podcasts. This is years ago. And we started walking through the neighborhoods, and we got into a neighborhood, and I was like, ooh, we should probably not be here. So it was strange, but we always had great shows. There were always good people coming out. I think this is a better location for us. This is gorgeous. So we just did our first show here and loved it and had such a good time.
Yeah, it's a great room. I mean, it only opened back in November.
Yeah.
So it was kind of the soft opening, and I know both myself and Christopher have performed a couple times here, and it's a good feeling. It's a nice stage, a good room, and yeah, it's definitely different from that West Valley room.
Definitely.
Had that lovely blue curtain that sometimes was bricks and sometimes had the Wise Guys logo like stuck to the back of it.
And then like it looked like there were trash bags on the wall, like someone was going to mass murder somebody. It was fun.
Yeah.
It's good.
So now I've always kind of wondered, because I know I've watched you guys for years, both on Comedy Central. I remember, I think the first time I saw you guys was... correct me if I'm wrong, on John Oliver's comedy special?
No, you got to go way back. It was on Premium Blend was the first thing we ever did.
That's what
Premium Blend was the first thing we ever did, and then our Comedy Central specials and beyond.
So how did you guys really get started, not just in comedy, but together? I mean, was it something that you guys always kind of recognized?
I think that was always, we kind of didn't even recognize it. We were like, hey, I want to do comedy. And Jay's like, I want to do comedy. We both want to do it. We both love it. What's the way that we can both get up on stage and just do it? And we wouldn't even think about it. And I think over time, we've sort of figured out what is the best style for us to do what we do is to make it as unique as possible.
I think you guys definitely do that. I mean, it's not very often that you see, let alone a duo, but two brothers that are able to do it. I mean, the only duo that I ever really think of in current days is Stella, when Mike Liam Black and Michael Showalter.
Yeah,
trio. Which was really a trio because David Wayne was
Wayne was part of that as well.
Yeah.
So, and I think it makes everything really unique with you guys, especially even when you're on a show like At Midnight.
Yeah.
So, and I know Chris always likes to joke about splitting the two of you up on there.
We did it. Well, I mean, when in the Tournament of Champions, I did it just me, and it was fun.
It's fun. I mean, the reality is, like,
you prepare
on your own, and you're up there by yourself.
But the other half of it is, so you prep for it, but then so much riffing happens.
Yeah.
And when it's the two of us and Chris, like, a lot of riffing goes on, and he knows. He loves to play, and then you add John Doerr into the mix, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, well, that entire Canadian bit last night.
It just kept, I mean, first of all, a lot of people in Canada were pissed. I was like, yeah, I couldn't believe how much
flack we got online.
Relax, Canada.
I was in tears. We actually watched it first thing this morning because I go to bed at like 9 o'clock because I sleep smart. Like a grandpa.
You're smart. Yeah, you're a smart man.
But yeah, I was just dying. And I was like, I wonder if Canada realized this is all just good fun.
That we love each other.
Yeah.
They don't. FYI, they don't.
Like, John Doerr left me a message one time, and I kept it for so long, where he's like, do I have it? Randy, let me see if I have it. I put the moose in the oven, antlers and all. Hold on, I gotta.
So now we have here going on too the Cardinals and the Dodgers. I mean, growing up in St. Louis, but living in Los Angeles now. I mean, are you still loyal to the Cardinals during this?
Yeah, John Doerr. Oh yeah. Hold on.
Oh
shit.
Oh hey.
Oh shit.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, John Doerr calling you back. Got your message. Sounded like you're good. Hopefully you had a lot of casserole on vacation. It's food for the mind, food for the heart. Yeah, call me anytime. I think the piece is looking good. I just think the more massaging that we do and we get the right pieces in and the happier we are with it, it's only going to get better as long as we stay true to the story. You know all that. Oh gosh, it was a heck of a lot of fun just hanging out with the editor and Jay. We missed you, that's for sure. But we're glad you're back and safe and sound. So why don't you give me a call anytime? Owen was a big help as well. The kid's just a good one, you know? Okay, take care for now. Gotta go get the moose out of the oven. Take care. Put a whole moose in the oven. Antlers and everything. Just stuffed it right in. Filled the entire oven. So hopefully it cooks right. We've never tried this one before. Take care.
All right. So I don't want to fucking hear it. Yeah. That's John Doerr making fun of Canada. He's from there.
See, you should have just played that for everybody last night. Then you could just been like, shut the fuck up. He's in on this. And Canada would have had to deal with it.
That's right.
So what is that like preparing for a show like At Midnight? I know you said you guys kind of prepare individually.
I mean, you just have to sort of get yourself ready. And
there's a handful of things that you
get a little you get a little wind of it, and then a lot of it is improvised. And so the goal of doing it is, I think what Chris, his goal is to set funny people up to be as funny as they possibly can, and it's the most fun I've ever had on TV. I can't tell you how many times, you know, in a talk show where we're playing ourselves. I can't tell you how many times I've forgotten that I was on a TV show and we're just riffing around. We might as well be in the green room at UCB. So I think they've done an amazing job of creating a space where comedians can feel safe and riff and be as funny as they can be. And they just set you up to succeed. So they just want everyone to be funny, and that's, you end up feeling so good when you're on that show. No matter what happens, even if you lose, even if you're the first one out, I never feel bad. I'm like, I had good jokes. I had good moments. I feel great about it. And so, you know, it's really one of our favorite shows to do.
It's a fun one to go to. I know I've attended a few times.
Yeah.
I took Christopher this last time.
Nice.
So it was during the late night Battle of Champions with the Funches and Jordan.
You were there.
Jordan Kepler and Mike Yard. That was a fun one to
That's great.
To kind of be there for.
Great.
So, now, when you guys are writing, when you guys are building the set together, how does it come about? I mean, do you guys pitch jokes to each other, or is it a combined writing process?
I think it's both. It's both what you just described. I think stuff has to happen to us, and then we have to say, I think there's a bit in this. I think there's something in here. Let's talk about it. Here's what I keep coming back to. Or, you know, something happens to you, and you just start talking about it to the people that are close to you, and if you can get people to laugh a couple times, that's usually the start. Just in conversation with your friends, you get them to laugh about something that happened to you, and then it's all about, can we then write it into something where two of us, you know what I mean, where there's a reason for both of us to kind of be there? Because you don't want it to be just individual stuff, just going back and forth. So that we kind of have learned how to do. So it really, the key is living your life, experiencing things, and then bringing those nuggets back to the unit of both of us and saying, okay, what can we... Oh, God, you suck, dude. Like, what can we do to... I'm sorry, that was happening on the screen. But, like, then what can we do to turn that into a Sklar Brothers bit? And then we get it to about 60%, and then we start putting it up on stage. And the more we put it up on stage, if you have, like, a headlining set of comedy through a weekend and you can fit it in as a new chunk, start to really let it grow. And that's what's always great, because when we come to a place like Wise Guys, we definitely want to turn our material over so that we're not doing the same set, so that people who come back to see us are like, oh my God, I saw a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah. How long before you guys build up a special? So I know you guys had the Netflix special that came out, what was it, a year ago? Has it been two now?
Yes, 2014 is when that came out.
How long of a process is it to build up the next special?
Typically, it takes us about
2-3 years.
2-3 years. 2 years on a short period. 3 years if it's, you know, sometimes it takes us longer. We're not Louis C.K. We can't do, you know, our stuff is a little more, I'm envious of him and, you know, naturally he's a great comedian, and so is like, so are guys like Bill Burr. It's those moments that we realize we're acutely aware of how, it's gone. of how complicated it is for the two of us to be two people doing comedy. That, you know, when you're one person and you have a clear voice, it's, I believe that the material can flow out of you in a better rate, as opposed to, now it has to be good, and the reason why those guys are so amazing,
because they've established their voice.
They've established their voice so clearly and so well that you're, as an audience member, saying, I would love to hear you talk about anything. You know, like, you can apply that, you know, that filter, the Bill Burr filter, onto, I mean, I could list a bunch of subjects, and I bet he could sit here and give us his take on it if he was just sitting here, and I would love to hear it.
Yeah.
So that's really cool, because then you can use that filter to talk about anything. I think it's a little bit more, we're a little more limited, and we realize that in those moments. And so it takes us a little longer to drudge up an hour special. Now we actually have it, so we're ready. So, like, what you saw just now, or if you were in that first show, is like the hour ready to go.
That's a hell of an hour, though.
Thanks, man.
It was absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's funny you talk, too, about the comedic genius of Bill Burr. I'm still to this day convinced that the man absolutely just fucked with me and pulled a wonderful prank. He was a radio show I was working on a couple years ago.
Yeah.
We had him calling in, actually, before he was doing a show here.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to call his house first, and I call in, and I just get this little Hispanic lady on the phone.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, we're just calling for Bill. And she's, no, this is no Bill.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, what? And so, like, we hang up, and I call back, and I get the same lady, and I was like, all right. And so, like, I was like, can you tell me what number I'm calling? And she repeats it back, and it's like, all right, I've got the right number. What's going on? So I call his agent, and she's like, all right, we're supposed to have Bill on. She's like, yeah, that's the number. She's like, let me just test it. So she tests it, and Bill answers.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yeah, this is me. And he's like, go ahead and call it back. I call it back, and I get the Spanish lady again. And it took like a fourth try before I finally got him. I'm still just damn convinced that Bill Burr was just sitting there, just just keep answering my phone.
That's so funny. I could see him doing that.
I could totally see him doing it, and I'm still convinced he did.
Just have fun with it. That's so funny.
So now, when you guys were growing up, who were your comedic influences at the time?
I mean, we were huge Shandling fans. We were, I mean, may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
We were. Letterman was a huge influence on us. Just the watching his show. The late night show, like we would even just clips of his late night show, just the way he did comedy was so funny. Huge Seinfeld fans before Seinfeld had his show. We really loved Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live. Loved him in Trading Places, the greatest movie ever. Like we
and
found
Delirious. Like Delirious was a very influential comedy album for us. We learned that album like start to finish. That was in our pocket. We were. Was it 80?
And Stephen 84? Wright. Yeah,
Stephen Wright was for big sure. for us. Even, you know, despite what a douchebag he's become today, Dennis Miller, the black and white special that they shot in Arizona at the Tempe Improv. Richard Lewis, his special in front of the brick wall at the Improv, that where he's in the black. I mean, that was, for us, super influential. We were comedy nerds before there were comedy nerds. I mean, we sought out all forms of comedy before anybody knew what we were talking about.
Like the movie Airplane was a huge influence on us.
That still is one of my favorites.
Kentucky Fried Movie. Like these are seminal things that really influenced the way we created the comedy that we would create. Because what we do is, it is stand-up, but there is like a performance sketch element to it as well that happens at times.
Yeah. So I like the fact that you guys are able to have that sketch element. It's
just a different thing. Yeah. We have to present it differently. Otherwise, why are we both up there?
Yeah. So now, as we kind of wrap up, there's one show that I have to know if there's anything progressing with it.
Sure.
So, because I know you guys were set to host All-Star Celebrity Bowling.
Yeah.
And then AMC had their whole thing where they pulled all the reality base.
Yep.
And I've heard Nerdist now has it back. Is there anything progressing with that? I was so excited when I heard that you guys were going to
it
be
was so
hosting
fun.
It.
I mean, we had a great time doing it, and I mean, it was a blast. I love doing it. We hosted this show that we did through our podcast called Finding the Funny, which is actually now called Finding Funny. It's on the Travel Channel, and so it's really about when we go around and do, like, we did some material about the jazz and Utah and all that stuff here at the top. Whenever we go into a city, we try and do as much material as we can about the town of what we've experienced.
Gay mayor.
The gay mayor and all that stuff. Trying to do as best as we can as outsiders coming in. How can we make everybody here laugh at themselves? And can we make the locals laugh at themselves with it feeling like a roast and not feeling like we're being mean?
Right.
And we said that would be a great show to do. That would be a great thing to document. Plane lands. You have a couple of days to write 7 minutes of material. How do you do it? You got to go experience it. You got to talk to people. You got to find out what's going on. And so that experience we shot is probably, if we do that show, we may not be able to host another show.
Gotcha.
If that show doesn't go, then we could do it. Yeah, I mean, we always, I think Hardwick really liked the fact that we did host it. I think he would have us do it again. That would be great.
So I would absolutely love it if you did the show. Anybody that hasn't seen it, I mean, it's already a hilarious show, but I was even telling my wife as we were walking over here, and I was like, I have to find out what's going on with that. Just the element of the way that you two have just that natural banter together with what already is set up with that show.
It's fun.
It's like it would just be comedy gold.
It was really fun. It was enjoyable. Thank you for asking about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, what other than, you know, the tour that you guys are doing now, what else is kind of coming up next that we can kind of expect from you guys?
So, we've been doing a bunch of stuff on the NFL Network. That happens every week on NFL Now. You can catch that, which is like NFL.com. We are writing a movie with Rob Corddry and his company.
Oh, excellent.
So for us, and we're in the process of writing that. We don't know when that's going to go. We're doing a documentary that we are kind of putting together and producing on poop. I know that sounds crazy, but we're trying to do the smartest documentary we can ever do on, like, why is it that everybody poops but people don't talk about it? Where are we in our society today that this is something that happens to everybody yet people don't talk about it? So talking to comedians and talking to, it's been really fun. We talked to so many people.
I'm already going to look forward to that.
It's really interesting. And so we're kind of in the process of conducting the interviews, and then we'll be putting that together, and that should come out at some point. Always working on an idea to try and get cheap seats in DVD form, talking to people who are interested in doing that, raising the money to like go do that. And we're writing a pilot for Warner Brothers with Bill Lawrence, who created Scrubs and Spin City and Undateable and Cougar Town. And he's a really good writer and producer, so we're creating that.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you guys. I'm glad we were able to get everything set up. Always absolutely love seeing you guys on anything that you're on. So every time I see that you guys are relisted on At Midnight, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great episode.
Yeah, that was so fun. Yeah, it was super fun.
So where can everybody find you on social media to make sure they follow you?
Follow us at Sklar Brothers on Twitter and Sklar Brothers on Instagram. And I think we're on Snapchat as well. We just haven't really done it that much. But Twitter, Facebook, Sklar Bro Country on Facebook, all that stuff.
Awesome. Thanks, cool. Man. Thank you again.
And I'm going to rest the old voice as we go forward. Thank you. Nice to see you, man.
You betcha.
Nice to meet you.